Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. James 1:5-6. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans. My guest today is adoptive and foster mom and founder and president of Connections Homes, a nonprofit dedicated to connecting young adults who age out of foster care to families. Welcome, Pam.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I don't think I said your last name, Pam Parrish.
Yes.
Joining us from Atlanta, correct?
Yes, Atlanta, where it's finally turning cool.
Yes, here in New York, too. We had some really hot early fall weather, and now our leaves are changing, and there's that crispness in the air.
Yes, I love it.
We love it, too. So, Pam, back in 2006, you and your husband, Steve, had one biological daughter, Kristen, who was 11 at the time. But then you got involved in foster care and adoption. What led you to that?
Well, I mean, we had always considered adoption. Medically, I couldn't have any more children. And we had always kind of thought about adoption, but in our mind, adoption was international adoption. It took all this time, all this paperwork, all this money. And I had been in the corporate world, and our CEO had always said, your hours are eight to faint. So we just never really had time to pursue it. And we moved to Atlanta in 2006 to join a church here and move into the ministry. And it was here that I learned about adoption through foster care, that there are older children who are waiting in the foster care system to be adopted. And, of course, by that time, with my daughter being at 11, I didn't want to go back to diapers. So this seemed like the perfect opportunity for us to add to our family and for Kristen to have a sister that she so desperately wanted. So even though the course of my life has taken the turn that it has, we didn't start with a quote-unquote call of the Lord on our life to foster care and adoption. We went into it the way many families do, just to add a child, one child, to our family. So we started with Bethany Christian Services, got our approval in 2007, and on 7/7/07, we found our daughter Heather's picture on the state's Waiting Children website, and she moved in with us in September, and that was the start of it. She was 11, same age as our biological daughter. No one told us there were rules about birth order or any of that, and since then we've broken all of them numerous times. So that's probably why we were never told. But that's how we got started. It really wasn't that we heard a sermon or anything like that. It was that we kind of always wanted to add to our family. And just by the time Kristen was 11, figured that adoption was kind of off the table for us.
Wow. So, but Heather was just the first of six daughters coming to you. So you now have seven daughters between the ages of 20 and 24. Incredible. So after Heather, tell us how the other five girls came into your family.
Well, I started working with our adoption agency with support groups. I became certified by our state to teach the state impact class, which is the initial training for foster and adoptive families. And, you know, anytime you are close to an issue, that close to it on a regular basis, you can't help but to see the need. So we had been working with a family in a support group who had a 15-year-old. And they were having some extreme difficulties, they were in their late 60s and going to adopt this teenage girl. And there was just really a gap in understanding. A lot of it was cultural understanding, meaning cultural from the aspect of they're a much older generation who didn't relate to the younger generation at all. So I was talking to our caseworker one day, and I happened to ask about this family, and she said, they're disrupting and not going to continue with the adoption. And I was like, oh, that's so sad. And that very night I was telling my husband this story. And right in the middle of our conversation, he said, call Suzanne, that was our caseworker, and tell her we will take her. And there was zero plan to adopt again. We weren't looking. It's just he was like, if she needs a home, we will take her. Wow. And we met her 2 weeks later on our doorstep for the first time. And she moved in with us. We finalized her adoption at 16 and kept moving and thought, okay, we've got three. We're good. And then four more daughters were added to our family. They were all over the age of 18 through various ways. It all started with a phone call, hearing a story, and deciding to be obedient to what we felt like the Lord would do in this situation and open our hearts and home. Our Katya came to us at age 18. She was a disrupted international adoption. And we got a call at our church, and because it was about an orphan, they put it through to me. And there's a whole long story to how she came into our family and how we knew the minute that we picked up the phone, this was our daughter. But we did. We knew it. And we met her the next day and moved her in that day.
Wow.
To our home. And that's the same story with all of our girls that have come to us. We've literally met them, moving them into our home.
Wow.
And so our next daughter was Sarah. Katya actually brought Sarah home from ministry school. They were in a ministry school together, and Sarah had been homeless. And the director of the ministry school, when she learned about her situation, had no idea what to do with her. So she scholarshiped her into the school that provided room and board for 9 months. So school's closing for the summer. Katya and Sarah had become friends, and Sarah had nowhere to go and no family. So Katya said, can I talk to you? We said, sure. And very shortly thereafter, Sarah was moving in with us. Our daughter, Elizabeth, came to us from a phone call from our pastor. She was also homeless and had no family connections and showed up on his doorstep, literal doorstep. Someone from our church community had brought her seeking help, and he called us at 11:30 at night, and we kind of stepped in. We walked with Elizabeth for a few months to kind of feel her. Well, we weren't feeling her out, to allow her to feel us out and decide what she wanted as she couch-hopped. And finally, we got an SOS call from her that she just couldn't do this anymore, and I asked her to give me one night, and I met with her the next morning and said, honey, you need family. You need some stability in your life. Why don't you move in with us? And she did, and she's doing excellent now. And then our last daughter, Charlie, came to us actually via email. We got an email from some agencies in our area that one of our local high schools was advocating for a young lady who was aging out of foster care, and her foster family had told her that they were taking her to a homeless shelter on her 18th birthday. So they were trying to find a family to keep her in school because she was halfway through her senior year, and so that she didn't have to quit school and lose everything. So we met her on her 18th birthday and moved her into our home.
Wow. So these girls were all like 18 years old. Aging out of the system, home. Yeah. And so in the process of bringing your girls home, you discovered really a whole population of young adults who have no one to belong to, no family, homeless. Tell us about these kids and their situation.
Yeah. And, you know, anytime people hear our story or hear about Connections Homes, they kind of sit back and they're like, wow, I've never thought about that. Because we don't think about it. We think when you're 18 years old and you're going to college and you're an adult, and if you were to meet a six-year-old on the street who didn't have parents around, you would question it. But if you met an 18-year-old, you wouldn't question whether they have any family connections. So we see these kids every day in our normal world, working as our waiters and waitresses, working at our cashiers. We see them every day. We just don't know what's behind their stories. And across the nation, 27,000 kids age out of foster care every year. And I just read a recent statistic in Atlanta that said on any given night, there's 3,300 young adults 18 to 24 homeless in the Atlanta area.
Wow.
And these, most of these kids don't have family connections. They don't have that person that they can pick up the phone and call when something goes wrong in their life or when something goes right in their life. They don't have the person to call and say, hey, can I borrow some toilet paper? Because I have $2 in my checking account and I'm out. They don't have a place to go at Thanksgiving or somewhere to go at Christmas or someone to call them on their birthday. And, you know, if you think about that for a minute and think about how much we needed our parents when we were that age, we didn't want to admit it to them, but we needed them. And they really guided us into adulthood, whether it was learning how to cook, learning how to change your oil, or at least go get the oil changed, all of it. And so many of these kids, because they've got such broken backgrounds, don't even know how to access the simple things. I can't tell you how many young people we work with that don't have an ID, like a photo ID, which prevents them from getting a job. And the reason they don't have a photo ID is because they don't have a birth certificate. And you can't get a birth certificate without a photo ID. So it's a really vicious cycle that they get into, and without someone there to fight the system with them and work through it, they give up and don't move on. So, you know, these kids, I often say this to people, they're one tragic, small incident or crisis away from homelessness. Even if they've got an apartment and with a roommate and a job and a car, if they wreck that car and can't get to work, then they can't pay their rent and they end up homeless again without somebody who will say, you know what, that's a $25 fix to change that filter in your car and get it up and running. So let's get that fixed and get you back on the road again.
Yeah, simple things that we really do take for granted. Yeah. Opening and managing a checking account, getting a driver's license,
yes.
Car insurance. How do you figure car insurance out? What about college applications? How many of these kids, you know, the statistics I'm sure are very low, how many of these kids actually go to college because they
have less than 4%.
Yeah. Less than 4%. Yeah. And there's no one advocating for them and steering them in the direction and giving them some guidance or helping them with academics or college applications, money management. And here's the flip side. You said that these kids are just one tragic situation?
One crisis. Small situation. Yeah.
Right. So and I recently heard someone say every kid is also one caring adult away from success.
Absolutely.
So we need that one caring adult. Maybe we are that one caring adult. And
it makes all the difference.
Yeah.
If you think about it, like we've had several daughters go to college and just do terribly the first semester, just awful.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole new ballgame when you're in college, and as much as you tell them that it's going to be different, you're going to have to buckle down, you're going to be responsible for studying, you say all those things, they don't listen. And neither did we when we were
right.
that age.
Right.
But the reason we're important in that scenario is we say, no, sign up for the next semester, you can do better.
Yeah.
Because one of my girls was like, I'm quitting, I'm never going to college again. And it just took a simple conversation that says, no, you've been knocked down, but get back up. You can do this. And without that conversation, she would not have gotten back up.
Mm.
And I look at that and I think, how many kids don't get back up?
Yeah.
Because they don't have that one caring adult in their life saying, you can do this, and reminding them that even though they've got tragedy in their past and even though their life is hard, everybody goes through struggle, and you're no different. You're not any less smart than the person next to you. You have just as many opportunities, and you can do this.
Well, I want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan care, you can visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is Atlanta adoptive mom Pam Parrish. Pam and her husband Steve have 7 daughters between the ages of 20 to 24. Let's see if I can get this right. You have to correct me, Pam, if I mess it up. You have one biological daughter, Kristen, who is 21 right now.
Yes.
And 6 daughters who came through foster care or various system after aging out or being homeless. They are Heather is 20.
Yes.
Kelsey is 24. Mm-hmm. Katya is 24. Elizabeth is 22. Sarah is 22. And Charlie is now 21.
Yes, you got that much better than I can.
But I have a cheat sheet. I wrote it all down to make sure I wouldn't mess that up. And that equals 7 daughters. So that's incredible. Pam, in the process of bringing your girls home, you discovered that population of young adults between the ages of 18 and 24 who essentially belong to no one. Homeless, right. Aging out of a system, nobody advocating for them, guiding them along the way to go for their future. And that led you to establish Connections Homes, an Atlanta-based nonprofit dedicated to connecting every young adult to families. So tell us about Connections Homes.
Well, we do exactly what you just said. We work with a population of 18 to 24-year-olds who've aged out of foster care, are homeless, or otherwise without family. And our primary goal is to recruit and train families and mentors from within our community who will step into their story and be that one stable, lifelong connection. We work with a lot of partners around the state who do independent living programs or transitional living programs where these kids are there and they're trying to complete a program, but they have no stable connections in their life. So one day, and that day typically is the age 21, one day everyone that's paid to be around them is going to drop away. And we want to make sure that there's somebody in their life who's still cheering them on, who's still in their corner, and who's there in the good times and the bad. So we work really hard to match kids with families that are local to where they are. We do some surveys of the kids, their likes or dislikes and things like that, and the families complete the same things. And so we just work really hard to create stable connections. We call it connected independent living. Mm-hmm. That these kids aren't just independent living, but they're connected to someone, just like we were. If they have a load of laundry, then they're going to call you up and say, hey, can I come see you? Yeah, you can come see me. And they walk in with their laundry. And I'm like, you didn't really want to see me. You wanted the washer and dryer. But everybody needs that in life. So that's really our goal, is to create these sustaining relationships that last a lifetime.
Mm. So it isn't necessarily families taking young adults into their homes.
No. Nope.
But it is families being that connection, being that phone call away, being that Christmas dinner, you know, being that birthday party, being that guidance on the application for a job or the college application or how to set up that checking account or how to change the oil, like you said.
Absolutely. And not everyone would be defined in the role of mom and dad or family. A lot of our kids have been just so broken by the word family, that they are like, I know I need somebody, but I don't want a mom and dad. If you could give me a big sister or a big brother, then that's fine.
Yeah.
And we don't argue with them about that, because I know, and you know, that family can be defined in multitudes of ways.
Yeah.
We all have people in our life that are closer to us sometimes than our biological family. So I'm okay taking a mentor and saying, here's a big sister for you, and you guys just walk this thing out together. And it works, because we don't try to put these connections in one bucket. We allow the relationship to be organic and to be whatever the young person is comfortable with so that they have someone.
Yeah. So your website states, and you said it earlier, that 27,000 kids annually turn 18 years old and age out of the American foster care system with no stable connection.
Right, 18 to 21 years old.
18 to 21. So what happens to these kids when they don't get connected to a family or a mentor?
I mean, the statistics are staggering. 65% of young women will go on to get pregnant within the first year. And that just really keeps the cycle of welfare and poverty and things alive in their lives, because most of them have never been taught how to be a homemaker, much less a parent, and that here they are with this child that they love and they try their best, but a lot of them do end up back in the radar of CPS and DFACS across the nation. 70% of young men will end up in prison, incarcerated at least one time within the first 18 months of exiting foster care. Usually they're for survival crimes. I mean, if you're hungry, you're going to steal. And if you need to make money, you're going to go the way you can, because, again, like we said earlier, you know, a lot of times they don't even have an ID, so they can't get what we would consider a real job. So they do what they do on the streets. They sell drugs or get involved in gangs or whatever. So I saw a study out of California, and I wish I could name it, but they did a study of the prison population, and 90% of the prisoners had history in foster care. 90%.
Yeah.
So to me, that's what happens if you don't have a stable connection. If you don't have someone in your corner that's saying, you're better than that, you're more valuable than that, you don't have to do that to survive. Let me show you. And you know what? Whenever a kid gets connected to us, it's not just being connected to me. It's connected to my entire community. So my friend who is the manager down at the local Chick-fil-A, guess what? They can give them a job. And, you know, my friend at church who has a car washing business, they can give a kid a job. So when we connect kids to families, we're connecting them to extended resources that we all took advantage of from our family and community and friends.
Wow. Every kid, just one caring adult away from a success story. So, yep. Pam, you've also written two devotionals for foster and adoptive families, Ready or Not, 30 Days of give me the title again, 30 Days.
That's okay. It's the first one is Ready or Not. It's a 30-day devotional for families considering foster care and adoption. It's also a really good devotion if you're already in it and you really just want to understand God's heart.
Yes.
For this call on your life, it really helps to solidify what God's called you to. The second devotion is Ready or Not for battle-weary parents. And this is really for those families that are just in the thick of it and wake up every day and think, I just want to bury my head under the covers. I don't know if I can do this another day.
Yeah.
And it's just it's God's heart in the midst of our struggle. And it's Him walking us through our own inner healing so that we can be His hands and feet of healing in the lives of the children that we touch.
All right. So Ready or Not, 30 days for
those considering foster
those
care
considering,
and adoption.
Right. And Ready or Not for battle-weary parents who are already in the trenches, so to speak.
Absolutely. And those are both available on Amazon.
So what led you to write these devotionals?
Well, it's interesting. I never set out to be an author or have a book or anything like that. I was on the phone back in 2012 in January with a caseworker from a local agency. She was an adoption worker, and she had had 8 disruptions that week in adoptions.
Wow.
And this was a Christian organization. So she called me. I answered the phone, and she said, can I vent for just a minute, and will you hear me? And I listened as she grieved for these kids and the families. And she just grieved for the heart of Jesus and what this says to a kid. If I love Jesus and I say, I love you, and I'm going to make you a part of my family forever, and then 2 months later I say, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. What does that say about Jesus?
Mm.
And so she was just grieving and being vulnerable. And I went to bed that night. We were in the middle of a fast, a church-wide fast. And I just said, Lord, if there's anything that I can do, please use me. And I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and He gave me all 30 days of the first devotion.
Wow.
I just wrote them down. I wrote the scripture, the main scripture and the title down that morning. And 2 weeks later, I was at an orphanage in Ecuador, and the Lord said, finish it. So I finished it. I actually just put it up on my blog for free, and through a process of divine connections, God connected me with an organization in the Atlanta area, Promise 686. They were looking for a spiritual component for their foster families, and I offered it to them, and they began to use it. Along the way, it got into the hands of Andy and Sandra Stanley, who are foster parents, and they really encouraged me to make it a book. It would not have been a book if it wasn't for their support. And today, it's one of the primary equipping tools that churches across the nation are using whenever they recruit foster families. I get bulk orders all the time to take their families first through a study about what it means to draw close to the heart of the orphan, and then from there, take the next step to whatever the basic classes are that are offered in their state to get approved.
Wonderful. I've just ordered mine, just so you know.
You're awesome.
So the devotions, Ready or Not, both of them, for parents considering becoming foster and adoptive parents, and the Battle Weary one for Battle Weary Parents, for those of us in the trenches. Both of those are available on Amazon.com. Look for them by author Pam Parrish. And Pam, as we wrap up here, what is on your heart today that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
Well, I think it ties back into the scripture that you opened with. When you step into the story of brokenness, whether it's through foster care or through international adoption or becoming a connections home or mentoring or whatever that looks like for you, when you step into the story, the one thing that you're going to need is wisdom. Mm. Because every day we face things that we don't know that we don't know. And every day we're going to be needing to be on our knees before the Lord and ask Him to give us insight and direction and to help us to be His hands and feet in this situation. And I love the fact that it says He gives that to us without reproach. I mean, He's not up there going, you know what, you really shouldn't ask me that. You should have been a whole lot more prepared than this. He doesn't do that. But then it goes on to say we have to ask in faith without doubting. So many times we get into these hard places with children from hard places, and we doubt. We wonder if we did the wrong thing. We wonder if we're really the right family. We wonder if we're really making a difference, because sometimes it just feels like trudging through mud. And God is there with you in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't give over to doubt and you trust Him for the wisdom that you're going to need. And it's going to come in a multitude of ways. It'll be just a word from a friend or a word from the scripture or a resource that you suddenly become aware of in any number of ways. But just seek wisdom, and He will give it to you generously.
Well, thank you so much, Pam, for joining us today and for all you are doing on behalf of kids homeless and kids aging out of foster care.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. And to learn more about Connections Homes, visit their website at connectionshomes.org. And again, to find Pam's devotions for foster and adoptive families, they're on Amazon.com. You can look for the titles Ready or Not by Pam Parrish. And a reminder, tomorrow is the big day, Justice for Orphans Annual Orphan Conference 2016, a day of encouraging and equipping believers to protect the fatherless through orphan ministry, adoption, and foster care. If you didn't register, you can do so now on our website, justicefororphansny.org, or at the door Saturday morning. Doors are open at 9 a.m. for registration, and 10 a.m. the conference begins. So join us on Saturday, October 22nd at Faith Baptist Church in Rexford, New York. Details and registration at justicefororphansny.org. And don't forget, Orphan Sunday is only 3 weeks away on November 13th. Orphan Sunday is the perfect way to begin the conversation about caring for orphans and vulnerable children with your congregation. For details and free resources, and to get your church on the map along with thousands of other U.S. churches and churches in 80-plus countries globally, go to orphansunday.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.